This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. Before the break, I framed it as the best. We're going to change it up a little bit. Not the best offseason move that the Texans made. Let's specifically ask the audience, your favorite Texans offseason move. And we'll allow you to go draft, free agency, trade. That's pretty much the bulk of it, right? How you can like acquire players.
Favorite. How did it make you feel?
How did it make you? Like, don't worry about what you think and how it's going to do and if it's the best or the worst or how good it is. How did it make – because that's the thing that we're all going to remember, right? Or the thing that you remember about someone when they die is how did they make you feel?
Maya Angelou.
I'm telling you, how did the Texans offseason make you feel? Or more specifically, what move did they make that made you feel best? What about you, Seth? This is also led by, we should point out, this is prompted by Mike Sando in The Athletic. He did a list of the favorite offseason move for each NFL team, and he's got one for the Texans. Before we read his, since this is the Payne and Pendergast show, and I'm in for the Pendergast side, I want to hear from you, Seth, and then I'll let you and the audience hear from me, and the audience can weigh in on this as well. 713-572-4610 is the way to get a hold of us on the text line, and of course, the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers YouTube and Twitch video streams. You can catch us there as well. Let us know what you think of your favorite Texans offseason move. What say you, Seth Payne?
For me, it was the at least teardown of the offensive line.
Okay.
And I would love to have seen a more aggressive rebuild. But the fact that they got rid of three starters from last year and that one of them was Laremy Tunsil, the Laremy Tunsil trade was really indicative, I think, of, okay, we've got to start over and we've got to get this culture on this side of the ball the same as it is on the defensive side of the ball. And that part for me felt the best at the time. Like, okay, you guys ripped off the Band-Aid. You knew that there was something off there. There's a report by Aaron Wilson was on Texans Commenters podcast. And Ben, let me know if you can get that in a minute. But this is Aaron Wilson on Texans Commenter on X on his podcast talking about just what the O-line room was like last year.
Behind the scenes, you know, there were players that had issues with Bobby and they didn't think he was listening to feedback and not running plays they wanted him to run. And then we had a discord in the offensive line room between Chris Strausser and Cole Popovich, and Strausser has seemed checked out for years to me and others. And so my sources told me that it was Strausser controlled the playing time, but it was Popovich who was giving the players the guidance that they'd hoped for, and the coaching and the feedback and, you know, being really personally invested in these players and their developments. But, you know, with everything, you know, things change, and now they're trying to overhaul this group, this offense. And, yeah, the whole season will be a referendum on the offense if it's good enough.
So Laremy Tunsil was the most notable part of all of that, not Aaron Wilson's comments, but just the overhaul of the offense in general. So basically just purging that side of the ball from your offensive coordinator, your offensive line coach, three starting offensive linemen. Things were dysfunctional last year on the offensive line. I don't know who to blame. I don't know whether it was the coach's fault or what. I don't love hearing that Cole Popovich was the guy they were leaning on for the technical advice because they weren't all that good from a technique perspective, but it was a mess. And in a situation like that, sometimes the only thing you can do is just raise the building, just tear it all down. And that's what they did. And the Tunsil trade was part of that. So I'm that for me was the favorite part of it. Now, I wish they would have had more of an aggressive rebuild, but that's where we are right now.
Yeah, so it's interesting listening to that because it just feels like, I mean, you specify the offensive line, and obviously we're talking about, you know, Cole Popovich stepping in for Chris Strausser and the discord that Aaron Wilson is describing there in that clip. But it also just sounds like overall, because, you know, of course they did fire and replace their offensive coordinator. It just sounds like overall offensively, not just the offensive line itself, but the offense overall was, if not dysfunctional, was borderline dysfunctional, or at least there was some discord or some discontent within that or on that side of the ball, if you will. So yeah. so to me, I hear you on this, because like the favorite might in this case turn out to be the most necessary move, you know, and I said I wanted to make the distinction between best and favorite. But if all of that is going on the offensive side, where players don't feel like their feedback is being taken seriously, specific position groups is a harder thing to say than I realize. Specific position groups are being led in different directions, and there is discord within that. Like, the most necessary move, it does seem like, was all of the overhauls that they made on the offensive side, specifically with their coaching, and then the player side from there. So I can totally get that. And to me, it's the kind of the marquee moment of the Texans offseason. Mine feels like it's a little bit off the beaten path, but it's still offensive line related tangentially. Yeah. It was the CJ Gardner-Johnson trade. And that happened because you jettisoned one of the offensive linemen that wasn't very good for you last year. It hadn't been very good for you in the time that he played. So that was part of the remaking of the offense. Like, Kenyon Green was a starter for them at one point.
Yeah, and you actually got something out of Kenyon Green.
Yes.
I mean, you gotta ignore a few things. I mean, yes, they got something in return for Kenyon Green in a trade swap, theoretically. Mostly it was a salary dump by the Eagles.
Yes.
Who probably had similar compensation offers, but the Texans throw in this kid who has upside. Like, Kenyon Green, believe it or not, has had some good games in the NFL. It's just very, very rarely. And his amount of time that he stayed healthy is almost non-existent. So, but the fact that you got something in return for Kenyon Green, if you just keep it that simple in your mind, that is a coup.
Yes.
And the fact that it's a guy that fits in with the mindset of the defense, especially. Yes, that was my second favorite one.
Not just fits in, but I feel like even ups the ante, which says a lot about him and the defense, I feel like. But yeah, no, the fact that you could get something for him, and honestly, Seth, if ahead of that trade, someone had just asked you, like if someone hit you up on X/Twitter and was like, hey, Seth, CJ Gardner-Johnson for Kenyon Green, who says no? Like, probably, you would have probably had the presence of mind to think about the potential salary cap dump and how that part of it would have made sense. But probably to your average fan or to your average layman, they would have just said straight up, the Eagles say no, because that sounds absurd. One guy is a useful player, and the other guy has not shown himself to be that just yet. But that is the caveat. That is the part of it that made sense. Of course, it is a salary dump on the one end for the Eagles, but one man's trash, another man's treasure. Could even be the same thing for Kenyon Green. That could turn out to be sort of a win-win if they're able to make something out of his career. So for me, even on a unit that didn't feel like it needed a tremendous upgrade, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Texans defense a little bit later in the show, but for a unit that did not need the upgrade and to get it via a player that it didn't seem like you'd be able to upgrade your roster by moving, like you were just going to probably have to take whatever you could get, that to me was, like, as you called it, a coup for the Texans. So I would say that for those reasons, that the CJ Gardner-Johnson acquisition and Kenyon Green trade is my favorite move of the Texans this offseason.
My other one, which isn't a huge, it was a headline and everything, but you kind of forget about it quickly, is the extension of Danielle Hunter. Because so much about that extension is exactly why Nick Caserio doesn't mind doling out a lot of guaranteed money. You've got a really good defensive end, still pretty much in his prime, who gets a one-year extension. So you're only obligated to him for two more years as he's in his 30s. So if another guy comes along that you feel really good about, maybe the next young Jonathan Grenard or somebody, then you've got options there, and you're not beholden to a guy forever, or if Danielle Hunter starts to show his age. That's exactly the way that I like watching a team operate, where you always make it really clear, we're leasing this player, we're not buying him, we're not taking out a mortgage on him. That's ideal in my mind. So the Danielle Hunter extension, and to just get him for one extra year, basically just redoing the same deal that he had last year, that's a great way to operate. The numbers are eye-popping, but it's all for a short period of time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Before I get to Mike Sando's favorite offseason move by the Texans this offseason, I want to ask you, what do we make of, because I'm just thinking about hearing you talk about Danielle Hunter right now, what do we make of all of the depth that the Texans have been able to put together on the defensive line, and how impressive that defensive line looks from end to end, right? Like the guys on the inside, none of them are necessarily like studs, but all of them I feel like really good and have a role and have a specific thing that they do well. You could probably speak to that even better than I could, of course, having played that position. But then, of course, they got the studs on the end. Like, what do we make of the defensive line being pretty much sublime and the offensive line being like, yeah, okay, we'll see what's going on here?
I think that, well, the defensive line, I mean, you can always rotate do more. Guys. And I think having a genuine bona fide stud at defensive tackle would do a lot for them. But I think that I'd be surprised if the Texans are ever super aggressive other than in the draft on getting a defensive tackle, as long as their edge rushers are hemmed up as well as they are. And the guys that they have at defensive tackle are doing what they ask them to do. They get good pressure up the middle. They get push up the middle. And they end up being a really good pass rushing team. It's tough in D'Amico's scheme. It puts a lot of pressure on the interior defensive linemen and on the linebackers, because they're funneling everything towards the inside. And where it really makes it difficult for the linebackers is the bind they're in between the run and pass responsibilities. Because those linebackers, they've got everything funneling there towards the inside, but then they've also sometimes got to beat their feet out to the flats. That's the tricky part. The defensive line, as is right now, yeah, 100%, feel good about it, but there's always room for an upgraded defensive tackle. If you had a DeMarcus Lawrence type or somebody in there, or Dexter, it would make a big difference.
So for Mike Sando, favorite move of the Texans offseason?
When I say DeMarcus Lawrence, I meant Dexter.
Dexter, but DeMarcus was pretty good too, you know. So like,
yeah.
I mean, not on the inside, but if they
not
could,
on the end, yeah.
But if they could,
Seth Payne wants small, tiny, yeah.
Hey, but if Dylan Horton or one of their depth pieces at defensive end can challenge DeMarcus Lawrence, that would be excellent. So get right on that. But for Mike Sando at The Athletic, this was his favorite Texans offseason move. Want to get your thoughts on it and see what the audience thinks about it. This is from Mike Sando. Remaking the receiver position by acquiring Christian Kirk and using two early picks for Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel bought hope for the Texans after they subtracted Stephon Diggs and lost Tank Dell to injury. Those new receivers aren't going to help the pass protection, which remains a concern, but if quarterback C.J. Stroud can get the ball out of his hands quickly, looking at you, Nick Cayley, because that's going to be partly on you too, and that was me adding that part. Houston has some players who might catch it. That's from Mike Sando.
Yeah, it's not my favorite move just because it so heavily relies on the draft. And even for the prospects I love, I remain very, very skeptical until they show up. So in any given draft, there's guys that I love, but once they get into the NFL, they're just stupid rookies to me. So I like that they were aggressive in going after it. I like that the Texans would get bristly about drafting for need or not. But then, or bristle at the notion of players, positions of need. And yet the two positions that we all almost unanimously as fans agreed that the Texans needed were O-line and wide receiver. They go out and with their first three picks, they take two wide receivers and an offensive lineman.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I'm right there with you. This wasn't mine, probably because the draft is just, I mean, it's just harder to predict. We don't know how good these guys are going to be until we actually see them. Like, I know I picked CJ Gardner-Johnson. That's because I've watched CJ Gardner-Johnson play in the NFL for a decent amount of time now, and I know him to be a pretty good NFL player, and he just came off of a Super Bowl winning team. That part is easy. It's harder to predict and to say that the favorite for me is going to be guys that I haven't seen play before. But with that being said, Seth, I did really like the draft. Like, I was there with everybody else who's like, okay, he's trading out of the first round. Okay, they're not going to get the offensive lineman that you know, everyone seems to covet so much. But as far as what they get, not what they didn't get, but what they did get, I do feel pretty good about it. Just in terms of, like, as far as optimism goes, as far as blind faith goes, I did feel pretty good about them getting that combination of receivers. I think Woody Marks is going to be somebody that can contribute to the offense right away. In what exact role or capacity, I think that part still remains to be seen. But we're talking about a 24-year-old rookie. That dude should be ready to play right away. So yeah. So from that standpoint, like, adding weaponry for C.J. Stroud through the draft, I can get with that. It wasn't my favorite because it's the least proven move that they made. So I think that part is fair to say. And speaking of the draft, though, that's coming up in headlines. There was a very notable name in NFL media that made the rounds yesterday in terms of headlines about the draft. Is the draft going to be abolished anytime soon? We'll talk about that next in headlines.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.